Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings, buy one get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties, buy two get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
All right, 104. McMonagle here with you. Let's talk. Can we talk a little baseball? Why not? I miss it already. I miss it so much. I miss it, especially now that I'm an Optimum subscriber and I couldn't watch the Rangers blow a 3-0 lead. And I missed the last couple of Nick games. I'm gonna have to figure it out because I can't, you know, I can't continue missing now. I've been hoping that they're gonna fix and settle this thing. But I don't know how long, and now it sounds like I saw a report that Optimum might drop WPIX, Channel 11. And if that happens into the baseball season, that's the Mets' secondary games are on WPIX, I believe. So, like, they got to fix this thing. But now I got to do the Gotham app. I don't know. I miss baseball. I miss turning on the TV every night and having the Yankees and the Mets. I miss it. It's a companion, and I miss my companion. I miss my friend. Let's talk a little baseball, because I got to tell you, the last couple days, and I'm happy, you just heard Marco talk about Polanco. Brian Cashman, and here's my happiness with the Polanco thing, and then my fear of the whole situation. My happiness with Polanco is that the Yankees are out there searching for another infielder, because I am deathly afraid that the New York Yankees are going to be okay with starting DJ LeMahieu at third base. I think they view the idea of having DJ at third as a possibility because it moves the infield around in a position where they're more comfortable with, where obviously they're able to play him at third base and... because they can move Jazz Chisholm to second base. Like, if they have DJ LeMahieu play third base, you're looking to have Jazz Chisholm at second. Because everything you hear is that the Yankees would rather have Jazz Chisholm at second base. And that they've talked about having a defensive, like, and run prevention type team. Like, that's been the pivot. The pivot hasn't been go get Santander to replace the home runs from Juan Soto. The pivot hasn't been go out there and get the best bats available. The pivot has kind of been, yes, listen, Bellinger has the ability to do that. I'm hoping for a bounce back year from Goldschmidt. But it kind of feels like they've really tried to get back and try to, you know, get around some of their ills of last season, which were athleticism and defense. And I do think they believe Jazz Chisholm is a better second baseman. So, like, right now, my fear is over Oswaldo Cabrera, because Oswaldo Cabrera doesn't make any money, and they're paying $15 million to DJ LeMahieu. So if they have LeMahieu as their other guy, I think that's, they play him at third, they play Jazz Chisholm at second, and at least they think they're defensively sound. But what Polanco and the other most puzzling addition that's been bumbling through my mind for the last 3 days, Luis Arraez, do, at least it proves to me they're out there on the market trying to improve, because I can't go into the year with DJ LeMahieu as the Yankee third baseman. It can't happen. Super utility infielder making $15 million isn't excellent roster building, but that's what it's got to be. Because I can't have him be my starting third baseman. So although Polanco had a miserable year last year, and let's be honest, that's almost where Seattle's where every offensive player goes to die these days. They can't get a hitter to come in there and perform to save their life, going back to Robinson Cano. Even Julio Rodriguez hasn't, even though he's number one on this dopey shredder MLB list where he's the number one center fielder in the sport, has not had, you know, the type of start to his career. I think as many would realize, I think they, you know, he's been solid, but he hasn't been the superstar out there in Seattle. But Polanco's had a terrible year. He's coming off knee surgery. I don't want Polanco, but at least they're connected to all of these infielders, and at least that tells me they recognize they can't start the year with DJ LeMahieu at third base, even if it makes them a better defensive team. Go out there and find a second baseman and put Jazz Chisholm at third. And I talked about Luis Arraez a little bit yesterday. And I got to tell you, for someone who I believe has won three consecutive batting titles and is a excellent offensive player, and I shouldn't even say that because that's part of it too. Like, he's not even an excellent offensive player. He's an excellent hitter. Like, that's all he does. So the idea, like, hey, Chris, they might trade for a three-time batting champion. That sounds excellent. And for the lineup, you put Luis Arraez in front of Aaron Judge. You put a guy that's had a career .370 on base guy in front of Judge. I mean, it solves their leadoff problem. It puts a guy in front of Judge, which I think is very important because right now, I don't think they have that prototypical, certainly not someone like Juan Soto, although he wasn't behind Judge, but they really don't have that hitter behind Judge. I would think right now Bellinger is the guy behind Judge. So if you have a guy in front of Judge, that gives him, you know, a little bit more protection than having, you know, it makes it a little bit more palatable to not have that big thumper. And I think Bellinger can have a decent year. And who knows, if Stan's hot at any time, you could put Stan there, even though they want to do the left-right thing. If Stan is going off, or even if Goldschmidt gets hot, or Jazz Chisholm gets really hot, maybe you can move him in front of Judge at different times. But they don't really have that clear-cut guy to put behind Judge to help him get pitches and help him get fastballs. So to get someone who has a .370 on base percentage in front of Judge changes this lineup. And I've been going on and on about how the offense is the most important thing, and come postseason time, you got to score runs. And this would help them immensely scoring runs. But I got to tell you, I look at him as an offensive overall player. Like, he is a one-tool player. All he does is hit for average. He hits for zero power. Zero. I mean, his slugging percentage is under 400 last year. I mean, this is a guy who had a WAR of one. A one WAR player who wins a batting title? How is that even possible? He does nothing else offensively. Now, he gets on base. And in front of Judge, that's all I would care about. It would have helped the lineup immensely. But ultimately, I think he's overrated because he doesn't do anything else offensively. And then you get to the real issue. He's terrible defensively. He's terrible. Like, he played first base a lot for the Padres last year. Like, as a second baseman, Gleyber Torres had his errors, and Gleyber Torres was ranked 30th out of 30 second basemen in the league who qualified. Arraez did not qualify because he didn't play enough at second base. Gleyber Torres had some range. Gleyber Torres had a strong arm. Gleyber Torres had tools that could have allowed him to be a pretty good defensive second baseman. He could not get around the mistakes. He could not get around the boneheaded mistakes. He was lazy around the bag at times. He made the critical error at times. He was not a good defensive second baseman, but he had the ability, if he could ever figure it out, he had some of the tools to be better than he was. Luis Arraez does not have any tools. He is really non-athletic. He doesn't have range. He doesn't have a throwing arm. He is just flat out a terrible defensive player. And I feel like overall, I'm willing to work with that if that's something the Yankees could do. Now, the reports are the Yankees were in on him from Passan, so it's legit. I mean, Passan doesn't speak unless he knows it. So they're in communication with the San Diego Padres about Luis Arraez. Now, John Heyman came out and said that then that it doesn't seem to be a fit right now. I don't want to upset John Heyman, but there's some thought while Boris still has second base potential free agents out there that there's, you know, he's going to feed some media members the idea of certain things to try and help them. And but I don't want to upset John Heyman, so I'm not going to go there. But even John Heyman and the reports, Andy Martino's talking that they have had discussions, but they're kind of far away. So, like, it's kind of a salary dump. And right now, until they trade Marcus Stroman, I don't know if they have the $14 million. I mean, they have it. It's whether or not Hal wants to do it. But the main part is I've wrapped my mind around the idea that the Yankees are going to be far more athletic and the Yankees are going to be damn good defensively. And I've been thinking about that as a second baseman or a third baseman that they could bring in. Obviously, Alex Bregman would be the home run. Screw the luxury tax. Go out and sign the great player. He's great defensively. He's very good offensively. Yes, he's trending down. It's going to cost a lot of money. It's not the perfect signing. But that's the big move that makes them very good. Great defensively. At third base, you move Jazz Chisholm over to second base. And now you're a very good defensive infield. That's why I was even open. And now the talks are sounding like he might go to Boston, but I was open to Nolan Arenado. Because if you could find a way to have St. Louis eat enough of that money and bring Nolan Arenado here, he's still brilliant defensively. And I think offensively, he can have a bounce back year. But I've kind of wrapped my mind around the idea that the Yankees were going to be good defensively. And I understand that overall, the positive nature of him being a 370 on base guy at the top of the lineup helps the Yankees enough where I want to do it. But, I mean, he is a dreadful, dreadful second baseman. And it's funny because, you know, typically when you think of a light-hitting, like batting champion, light-hitting, no home runs, slap the ball around the park, it usually comes with athleticism and good defense. And yet he doesn't provide any of that. I think Luis Arraez is an overrated player. Who you can tell because he's been on how many teams over the last couple of years, and the Padres are looking to dump his $14 million. A Padre team that's right there as one of the best teams in baseball, one of the best teams in the National League, trying to compete for a World Series, compete in that division with the Dodgers, and they're looking to move on from their batting title champ. Like, why? Because he doesn't provide anything else. Anything. So that's why I have to tell you, it's one of the more puzzling possible acquisitions for the Yankees that I've, because I close my eyes and see him hitting in front of Judge, and I'm like, man, that solves a lot of freaking problems for the Yankees. That solves a lot of problems. And then I see Jazz Chisholm still trying to figure out third base, and I see Luis Arraez playing second, and I go, and an aging, although better than Rizzo, I would still think at this point, but an aging Goldschmidt, and I'm like, well, how good defensively are we? I mean, I know it's only one player, but if you think about it, you're not moving Jazz to his better position. You're keeping him at third. You're putting arguably the worst defensive second baseman in the sport at second base. You have Jason Dominguez, who I don't think is going to drop balls left and right the way he did when he came up at the end of last year, but I still don't know what kind of defensive player he is. And now suddenly, yes, Judge and Wright. Yes, I still think Volpe's an excellent shortstop. Bellinger's a great outfielder. Goldschmidt's going to be better than Rizzo at first base. Wells is a good catcher. Like, they still should. I think Jazz Chisholm has the ability to play third base. So I don't know if they'll be a dreadful or a bad defensive team, but they're not going to be what I hope they would be. It keeps Jazz still there, it keeps Jazz at third and puts a terrible defensive second baseman there. Polanco's not much of a second baseman either. So I'm still on board. I know there hasn't been a lot of talk around Nolan Arenado anymore. There were some reports when right around the time that Paul Goldschmidt was going to sign that he would be willing to waive his no clause to come to the Yankees. Prior to that, he wasn't. But once Goldschmidt signed, there was some thought he could. I haven't heard anything around Nolan Arenado in a long time. But I'd almost prefer that because I think he's still got some pop. I could see a big year from him. It makes them a much better defensive team. It puts another bat behind Judge. It still doesn't solve the leadoff hitter issue, but There's a couple of different infield situations that could make this Yankee team better. Ha-Sung Kim is still out there, a guy they could sign, free agent, had a down year this past year, but was really a very good player the 2 years before that, good defensively. So, like, I don't know exactly what the best fit is, and I could see myself being happy with anything because I can't have DJ LeMahieu be the starting third baseman. Can't have it. And he will be if they don't make another move. It will not be Oswaldo Cabrera. It will be DJ LeMahieu. So do I have issues with Luis Arraez? Yes. If I found out this morning that they traded for him, I'd be super excited at the idea of that lineup. Do I think Nolan Arenado is aging and not quite as good as he used to be? And at Yankee Stadium, might his home runs come down because he's such a pull hitter in that deep left field? You know, is it a perfect fit? How much money is it going to cost? How many years? You know, blah, 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 blah. But if they do it today, I could sell myself on, wow, he could have a bounce back year, and they are going to be excellent defensively on the infield. Like, there's a bunch of different options that, even though I don't love them and they're not great, like even Alex Bregman, another one. They signed Alex Bregman to a contract because his market collapsed and he wants to be with a winner, and he signs a 3 or 4 year deal. And I'm like, well, I mean, now he got him till he's 36, 37. His numbers have been trailing downward. You know, he's coming from the Crawford boxes in Houston to big Yankee Stadium. His home run numbers are coming down. Like, I don't know if it's a great signing to give multiple years to him. I don't know, but I'll be pretty freaking excited about the ability of this team this year. And to me, winning this year is worth worrying about next year. Like, the Judge and Cole window of winning is still part of the problem and part of what they need to solve. So, a lot going on. Brian Cashman still has something to do. They still have to go figure out a way to trade Marcus Stroman and figure out to get some of that money to make any of these things plausible. But at least Arraez earlier in the week, Polanco today. Brian Cashman needs to be on the market to find another infielder because I can't. If they bring in Polanco, I wouldn't love it, but I'll feel better about it. And hey, if DJ LeMahieu outplays him in spring training and DJ LeMahieu outplays him at the start of the year and DJ LeMahieu is better than we all thought, okay, great. Then Polanco becomes your bench player and DJ LeMahieu is your third baseman. You move Jazz to second and you're probably a better team. But I can't just go into the year hoping that DJ LeMahieu is going to be that guy, hoping that DJ LeMahieu is finally healthy, expecting DJ LeMahieu to be anywhere close to a major league ball player. I can't go into the year with it. Can't. If it pleasantly happens, great. Because I love DJ. I love everything he brings. Hell, if DJ is the player he's been, that solves your leadoff hitter too. I mean, DJ LeMahieu being back to himself is probably the best thing that could happen to this freaking team. But I can't go into the year expecting it, and he doesn't deserve a spot to start the year. So at least Brian Cashman is out there inquiring about other infielders because I was worried that they were just going to call this thing quits and have DJ LeMahieu be the third baseman. 888-808-1019. We'll take some Yankee calls there. We'll get into the Mets in a little bit. Matt in Manhattan. What's up, Matt?
Hey. You forgot to mention that he also doesn't walk. He's got no speed. Arise.
Correct. Well, I mean, listen, when I talk about walks, it's on-base percentage. His on-base percentage.
I know.
Of his batting average, his on-base percentage is good enough.
But that's the reason why the Padres are not interested in him right now. It's because they're not going to sign him. He's done after this coming year. They're not going to sign him. That's why they're willing to trade him. The Yankees would be nuts to sign him. And the reason why is because guys who have a good on-base percentage but don't walk, they get old very early. Because as soon as the bat slows down a little bit, their career is basically over. And he can't run. I agree with you. For 1 year, having him hit in front of Judge might be good, but defense is terrible. You mentioned the one WAR, which is pitiful. It's basically someone that you can just sign out of nowhere. Willie Adames and Alex Bregman were available this year, and the fact that the Yankees went short-term and kind of on the bargain rack at first base means they should have signed one of those guys at third base, because if they don't, that means that those are holes for next year that they got to fill, and those are big-ticket items. I mean, we went into this offseason, I thought it was going to be like 2009 when they brought in Sabathia, Burnett, and Teixeira and just said, you know what, we're going for it. And I'm happy with some of the moves they brought in, but the unsung hero this year and in past years, and I know you agree with me, is Brian Cashman, because that's he makes trades for these players. Hal does not open up the pocketbook and tell him to just go sign people. He makes trades, and more of them work out than not. I wish more of my fellow Yankee fans agreed with that.
Yeah, no, I mean, well, listen, you can't. I do think his trades this year in particular, if we want to just focus on this offseason, his trades this offseason have been spectacular.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. You can't quibble with them. I mean, they've been, and that's what makes me laugh about the, you know, the farm system and how terrible the farm system is. They were able to get the second best closer. They got Bellinger. They have a, you know, a homegrown shortstop, the rookie of the year starting pitcher. They got the second rookie of the year runner up at catcher. Like, and it's so bad. They're still maybe able to go out there and make other trades for other position players. So like,
on the topic of the infield corners, though, how can they justify going like semi-bargain rack on both of those this year when there were options that were better?
One more time with that? Which, the corner infielders?
For the corner infield, how can they justify going semi-bargain rack on those positions this year when there were much better options available and they can't afford it?
Yeah, well, it's not that they couldn't. I guess the money is a little bit tight. There's also, with all these one-year deals, you think a lot of money's going to open up next year, and there is Guerrero available, big-time, you know, younger free agent.
Guerrero, a guy who would love to come here.
Well, I mean, listen, I don't think he wouldn't. I think it's BS when he says he wouldn't. I think he absolutely would if they offered him the most money. And also, I always forget his name, but the big-time star Japanese player at first base, who is an option next year. So I think they want to keep their first base options available to them. And third, you got to remember they're paying DJ LeMahieu. They don't, like, the money right now, they are pretty much at the luxury tax threshold. He doesn't want to go over the luxury tax threshold. He does not want to pay, you know, 50 cents on the dollar, whatever that final luxury tax threshold is. He's right there. Plus, you got to try and save some money to help the team at the trade deadline because you'll probably have to acquire money then. Like, I didn't expect them to do much more big money. They signed, you know, they offered $760 million to Juan Soto. They went out there and bought Max Fried. They went out there and brought in Bellinger for money. Like, those are the big acquisitions. I'd be surprised if they go out and still get Bregman. But I think Brian Cashman, I was watching SNY, and they were talking about, like, what are the vibes around the Yankee offseason? The Yankee offseason's been good. It's not been great. They've done a damn good job of you know, making me feel okay about the team after losing Juan Soto, but they still lost Juan Soto. And again, we can have this conversation until I'm blue in the face. You guys, Yankee fans, just stop. Like, I need you to just stop. Too many of you call me up. Too many of you talk to me on the street even, or, you know, if I see anyway. Like, you know, the idea that the Yankees are better off without Juan Soto, I'm sorry, you're crazy. We don't know what the rest of the offseason would have looked like. It would have been Juan Soto. They could have still made, there's no reason they couldn't have made the Devin Williams trade. That probably, to me, that's the trade that still gets made, and that's the offseason. Juan Soto, Devin Williams. And that would have been it, for sure. No Bellinger, no Fried, Devin Williams, and Soto. I think it's a very compelling case to say that team is better than the team they have right now. But they pivoted. They have the best overall pitching staff in the American League, and I do think they're overall the best team in the American League. And they've gotten more athletic. They've gotten better defensively. I think that, you know, he's done a good job. Right now, to me, the New York Yankees are the best team in the American League. If you provide a plan after losing Juan Soto that still puts you as the best team in the American League, it's a pretty good offseason. I think Brian Cashman's done a good job. And I think anyone who would want to tell you right now that Brian Cashman has not done a good job, the only one I've really heard it from is Brian Cashman blows on Twitter. So, and call me crazy, but I think he has a slight bias. And I know I'm the Cashman shill, but I don't know how you could look at this offseason and not at least say Brian Cashman did a pretty damn good job. It's a pretty damn good offseason, despite losing Juan Soto. But the infield, I think Paul Goldschmidt's going to have a bounce back year. I do. It's a one-year deal. There's no such thing as a bad one-year deal. I know that's a cliche, but it's true. No such thing as a bad one-year deal. I think Paul Goldschmidt has an opportunity to have a really good year. Every other year, you look at last year, it's a down year. Every other year, the guy has good seasons. And I know it's the most recent, and I know because of his age, you immediately turn to, well, that's the beginning of the end. And maybe you're right. But I think he's going to have a big bounce back year. I think the Yankees are going to have the best team in the American League, mainly because the American League stinks. I'm not trying to tell you any other different, but they need another infielder. Bad. Peter and Lawrence, what's up, Pete?
Hey, Chris. No, you are correct on all your points. I'm still pissed off about losing Juan Soto.
Absolutely. I'm still
it's like losing Reggie after 81. Mm-hmm. 2 points. One being DJ LeMahieu. And the second point is Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
Want to tell me why Elston Howard is not in the Hall of Fame and Dick Allen and Dave Parker are going in?
Yeah, I wish I could speak more eloquently on that subject. I'm a little bit before my time. I know he won an MVP and was a great player. People talk about Dick Allen. And he was a champ. People talk about Dick Allen as one of the more talented players to ever play the game. I wish I could speak more eloquently on that subject. I don't know why. I would have no problem putting him in. I think in today, in the standard that the Hall of Fame has become, and I guess the Hall of Fame voting, I think, is going to start soon. They just started putting out all the first ballot guys this year. I think it's going to be Ichiro. It's going to be CeCe Sabathia. There's going to be some guys who might have a chance to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. But I can't tell you exactly, you know, why Elston Howard is not in the Hall of Fame. You have the DJ LeMahieu thing, though? He hung up? Okay. 888-808-1019. Yeah, I mean, a little bit before my time to really speak eloquently on that subject. But put him in. I'm all for it. And plus, I think the Hall of Fame has been, you know, nowadays continuing to be, you know, I don't want to say watered down, but a little bit. And certainly the Yankee retired numbers have been. You mentioned Reggie. That one's a pet peeve for me. I know he's Mr. October. That's fine. He lives in infamy with the nickname. He doesn't have to have his number retired. I'll tell you, honestly, he shouldn't have his number retired. As we're going to retire David Wright's number in July later this year, I don't think there's a lot of Yankees who should, and Reggie Jackson's number one in my book. I don't know if that's fair, number one in my book, but certainly someone who I don't think should have his number retired. He didn't play long enough as a New York Yankee. I know he won championships and he hit enormous home runs. And, you know, Catfish Hunter was really the first big free agent, but like one of the big free agents in the history of the sport at the time, biggest contract at the time, everything that came around at the great postseason performances and everything. But, you know, he played like 6 years for the Yankees. 888-808-1019, but we talked about those Mets for a second. I'll continue to take your calls. We'll get into the Mets. They're talking to Tanner Scott. Help out that bullpen. They need to do something on the pitching market. Plus, they're still maybe attached to Bregman. What's going on with Pete Alonso? And do they want Pete Alonso? Because I've been trying to tell you, I don't think they do. 131, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Got you all the way till 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. Right here on The Fan. We'll be right back. Boom, ba boom. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. We open up with the Jets and their coaching candidacy. I put forth Pete Carroll as my guy. We'll get into it a little bit later again, but Pete Carroll's my guy the more I think about it. But we switched to a little bit of baseball here in the last hour, talking a little bit of the Yankees. We'll get to the Mets as well and Pete Alonso, but I've told you what I think about Pete. I honestly don't believe he's going to be a Met. I know he wanted to get the Prince Fielder contract. That report came out that he's basing it on 9 years, 200. What was the? Let me look that up again. He's basing it on. Nine, let me get the exact. He wants to get... it was like something like 9 years, 200. I'm going to read the story now. 9 years, $200+ million. He's not getting anywhere near that. And I do think if he ends up getting the short-term deal, that works best with the Mets because, one, I don't know if any other team wants to give a short-term deal to Pete Alonso and lose picks because he's got the qualifying offer attached to him. But something tells me that the Mets aren't even going to do that. I have a feeling I mentioned Vladimir Guerrero earlier. I think when you have the richest owner in baseball and you're David Stearns and you can say to yourself, I could sign Pete Alonso now or I can trust this offense that was the seventh best offense in Major League Baseball at scoring runs last year. I can bring up Beatty or some of the other infielders I have in my farm system that I've went about building over the last couple years, right? We traded away pieces, spent money to buy prospects, all that. I got infield prospects. I can give Beatty another shot at third and move my new young superstar, although I don't know if you want to mess around with Vientos and change positions on him, but you could have Vientos at first. You could play Beatty at third. You can play, you know, Mauricio at third. You could do a bunch of different things. You've just added Juan Soto to that offense that scored the seventh most runs in baseball.
So Alonso's agent, Scott Boras, uses Prince Fielder's nine-year, right. $214 million
nine-year
contract.
Nine-year, $214. I mean, that's what he's looking for. He's not going to get anywhere near
that. Is absurd.
It's absurd. He's not going to get anywhere near that.
No, no way. I mean, not that he's not, like, worth the money, but it's just, right. It's just not...
He's not getting nine
years. It's not
years.
9 years for a guy that's 30.
Right.
Is not... Oh, yeah, I signed a nine-year deal. Like, until you're 39?
No, I mean,
no way.
Not Pete Alonso. It's
no,
not going to happen.
No, I mean, dude, I love Pete. Pete's my guy.
Yeah.
But, dude, not nine-year deal. That's insane.
It is insane. So he's got to come back to reality. But I'll tell you, I honestly believe the Mets will look to sign Vladimir Guerrero next year. Reports are they're $100 million apart in Toronto for an extension. I don't think that's happening. I don't think he wants to stay in Toronto. Nobody does. And again, when you have Steve Cohen as your owner, if they don't sign Pete and they are looking for a first baseman next year, there is no way until Pete Alonso is signed, Vladimir Guerrero won't even come near an extension. Why would you? He just gave Juan Soto $765 million. I'm not signing a damn thing until I have a chance to talk to the Mets. You crazy? You think I don't want to talk to Steve Cohen before I sign a free agent contract? To stay here in Toronto and continue to lose? When no one, like, they might have money to give free agents, sure. They're offering $700 million to Otani. They're offering $700 million to Juan Soto. Nobody's taking that Canadian money. They all want out like the prime minister. So, I mean, I don't, like, even if they offer him a lot of money and promise him more things, nobody's coming. And they've been losing with this group. So I think that's, like, if they don't sign Pete Alonso, next year they are signing Vladimir Guerrero Jr. And then you have Vlad and Soto back-to-back in that lineup, 27 and 28-year-old superstars for the next 10, 12 years. But no, let's sign Pete for three. I honestly don't think it's going to happen. I don't think there's pressure to win a World Series this year. They're going about building this thing. They're going to be good. And I still think they can get offense. Hell, if they think they can get a rotation out of Frankie Montas and Clay Holmes, I think they can get a lineup out of Beatty at third base and Juan Soto. .888-808-1019. So let's talk a little baseball. Thomas in Massapequa. What's up, Thomas?
Hey, Matt, first time calling. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, buddy. What's up?
I got to talk Yankees to you. I mean, if this guy, Aaron Boone, thinks he's going to run out DJ LeMahieu every day, I'm not going to watch a game all year.
That's ridiculous. Well, I mean, that's silly, but I'm going to be unhappy about it. You're not going to watch a game all year? They just went to the World Series last year. They're going to be the best team in the American League even with him at third base.
We got to move on from Soto. It is what it is.
Right.
They got to become a more a more situational team. Maybe less home runs, more base hits. I need a guy like Luis Arraez at the top of the lineup.
I mean, it helps the lineup immensely. It gets me very excited thinking about him at the top of the lineup, but he doesn't do anything else. And he's bad at everything else. Like you think Gleyber Torres was a bad defensive second baseman. Wait until you get a load of this guy. He is awful. And like he doesn't run. He doesn't play. Like he's not the prototypical, you know, leadoff hitter. He's not gonna, you know, now with Judge in front of you, you're not gonna look to steal bases anyway, so it's not that big a deal. But he's not a guy who's gonna steal bases. He's not a guy who goes first to third. He's a guy who's gonna hit you .330 and then have a .370 on base percentage. He doesn't walk, he gets base hits. He's great at it. It's important. I'm not trying to say it's not. It gets me very excited. But he's bad defensively. And again, last year, despite winning the batting title, he had a 1 WAR. I mean, I mentioned Ha-Sung Kim from the Padres. They got rid of him, or he's a free agent now after his 4-year contract. Nobody seems to be excited for him. He's got no market. He had a 2.3 WAR. He's like twice the player. But I do admit that would be exciting to have. To have Luis Arraez at the top of the order. I do understand that. But again, you're not going to not watch the Yankees because DJ LeMay is your third baseman. Come on. Stop it. It's going to upset me. And I'm confident that they're it's going in the direction of them not doing that. And that's what I'm excited about. Even talking about Polanco. Like, they are out there looking at middle infielders. They are out there looking at guys who could play second or third base. There is no doubt. So, and again, and that wouldn't be Boone necessarily. I'm sorry. I don't think that would be a strictly Boone decision. I think the idea that Boone's a puppet and he does whatever Brian Cashman says and blah, blah, blah. I think that's completely overblown. But I'm telling you right now, that is at the bare minimum, an organizational decision that he'll have his voice in, but he won't get to determine whether or not Oswaldo Cabrera or DJ LeMay, who plays third base. That won't be a strictly Boone decision. The guy makes $15 million. And Oswaldo Cabrera is a nice little player, and I think he's probably the better option. But how much of a better option? Honestly, how much of a better option? If DJ LeMay, they'll play him for a month at least, and then if he's the same DJ LeMay we've seen, they won't continue to throw him out there if they have a better option in Oswaldo Cabrera, but he's going to get a month. He's going to get 2 months. And if the Yankees are winning, he might get half a year. Martin in Rockland. What's up, Martin?
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, hi. Would you like to speak to Chris?
Yes, hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing okay. So a few things I wanted to talk about. First of all, about one of the things you were talking about before, about the Yankees are better off without Juan Soto or not better off without Juan Soto. I'm a Yankee fan. I didn't really want Juan Soto because of his outfielding. We can go into that a whole different time, but that's not the point. As of this moment, I don't think the Yankees are better off without him because the Yankees didn't build something, anything major yet. Yes, they took someone for first base because the only reason I believe they took him is because they also want to be in the game for Vladdy next year or what's this other guy. But if they don't get someone solid at third base, And someone to be a leadoff hitter, which I don't think Luis Arraez is a leadoff hitter. I believe he's a number five or number six hitter. So I don't even know if I want him as a Yankee. If the Yankees don't get that, nowhere near better off than we would have been with Soto. And one more thing, because you just got Max Fried. He's a ground ball pitcher. And what are you putting out, Josh Chisholm at third? He's still building at third. He's not a very good third baseman
I think he can be, and that's, you know, that's one starting pitcher. But I understand what you're saying. I do think he has the potential to be a good third baseman. But yeah, I agree. That's why I think the Yankees prefer him at second base. I think the Yankees would rather have that and get a third baseman in here. But I just don't know what the options are. I don't know where they go for it right now.
I don't know either because it doesn't look like they want to spend much more money anymore.
No.
And Bregman would be a perfect fit.
He wouldn't be a perfect fit. He'd be a very good fit. He's a great ball player. I think any Yankee fan who's like against Bregman, one, for the cheating purposes, shut up. Like, honestly, stop it. I'm as mad at that team as anybody else, but I mean, I don't care. It's over. And he's a winning, proven postseason performer. I do think he's had struggles at Yankee Stadium specifically in his career. I don't know how much that actually would matter playing at Yankee Stadium, but clearly the ballpark suits him much better in Houston than it would here at Yankee Stadium. He's trending down. He had a bad year last year. Better second half, poor first half. But we say the same thing about Paul Goldschmidt and kind of convince ourselves. The difference is Paul Goldschmidt's 1 year, $12.5 million, where Bregman's going to cost you 5 or 6 years at $30 million or close to it per. So it's not a perfect fit, but I could get real excited about having Alex Bregman on this team, because then now you're talking about a legitimate hitter in the middle of the lineup, and now he's won gold gloves. He's a very good defensive third baseman. You move Jazz back to second, now you've got a very good defensive infield. So there's a lot of reasons why I would like that. But perfect, I don't know, because of the money and the length of the contract that you're going to have to give for a player who's not going to be quite as good as he was just because he's getting older, and quite as good because the ballpark doesn't fit him. Mark in Manhattan. What's up, Mark?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how are you, buddy?
Okay. I'm doing good, man. You seem to just keep saying these provocative things. How dare you say it about Reggie Jackson? How dare you say that? Now, I don't think
he should have his number retired.
Why not? Why not?
Because he played six years there.
Good. Yeah, you're right. Now, are you saying this from a fan's point of view or from your journalistic radio point of view?
Journalistic? I don't even have a journalistic point of view. No, I'm just kidding. No, my own point of view as a Yankee fan for years, I felt like, and he's not the only one, there's other numbers that shouldn't be retired. I feel like it's become watered down. There's too many of them. You should have to play a decade with the team at the bare minimum. If you didn't come up with the team, you should have to play more than 6 years with the New York Yankees to have your number retired with the team. Put a plaque out there. Whatever. I wouldn't even care if they build the statue of the third home run. Put a thing in Monument Park like they have of Don Larson throwing a Yogi Berra in the Yankee Museum in there. Have something about Reggie Jackson and his three home runs. The idea that no one should ever wear 44 again because Reggie Jackson wore it and he played 6 years there?
You know what it is, though. You know it's more emotional. You know what it is. It's more emotional. It's a lot. You know the history. The fan base hated him while he played.
Yeah, I mean, half the fan
they
base
did,
didn't
but
like
when
him.
But when he came back, I remember what my uncle said. Let me just say this real quick.
Yes.
My uncle said, and my uncle said this, and it hurt my heart as a kid. It broke my heart. It did. I know, you know, I didn't have the perspective as an older person or even an older teenager for the perspective, oh, okay, he left and okay, he was only there for a few short years. But as a little kid, it broke my heart when he went to the A's. It broke my heart, you know, when all that happened, right? And so my uncle
He didn't go to the A's. He was with the A's prior.
To the Angels.
Yes.
My uncle said this when I was a kid. He said, you know, the Yankees will never be good again until they apologize to Reggie Jackson, right? And so my father's like, that was crazy. But what I understood that to mean is that the relationship that needed to be mended. And I know, you know, as sports people, we are all superstitious to a degree. And I don't think it's a coincidence that once he had a relationship with the Yankees in the early 90s, you know what I mean, that we started winning again. One thing has nothing to do with the other, but it always touched my heart for the fact that as soon as he came back and started to mingle with the team, became an advisor a little bit later and all of that stuff, that they started winning again. All of those championships in the 90s, and so I kind of attribute it to that. So that's all I wanted to say. I hear what you're saying. You make a lot of sense.
We'll see. How about that? Because you called me up saying I'm making nonsense just to, you know, for radio purposes. I don't know if he should have his number retired. I feel the same way about Roger Maris. To be totally honest with you. Same thing, Roger Maris, 61 home runs. Make a moment of it. Have a plaque of it. Have a statue of it. Have a thing in the Yankee Monument Park Museum, whatever. He didn't play long enough with the Yankees to have his number retired. He was somewhere else before the New York Yankees. He was somewhere else after the New York Yankees. Like, I think the number retired should be, like, you know, you have to play a long, long time with the New York Yankees, not just have, you know, a couple of great moments in a short tenure. It's not like that's just like, and another, because of the broadcaster, I'm a little bit better open to it or whatever, but you know, Phil Rizzuto won an MVP, but he wasn't a great player. He went into the Hall of Fame, so he played for the Yankees, won an MVP, won championships in the Hall of Fame, sure, number 10 retired, fine. But like, Munson's the only one with a. I mean, I don't even want to say. I'm thinking how many years Munson played, but is obviously his tragic passing cut his tenure, his life, his career, his Yankee tenure short. But obviously, I have no problem with his number being retired. But and he came up as a Yankee, Rookie of the Year, championships. He definitely. Even though I'd have to check, I don't know off the top of my head how many years he played with the New York Yankees. '73, '72, but still, that's obviously Munson's the only one. My point is, Munson's the only one who it might have been short on the years who I have no issue with. But even so, like, if you're not, like, let's be totally honest. If we're going to be, like, and I don't want to go down this thing forever because you get in. This is like a, you mentioned the sports radio journalist take. This is a sports radio. We got stuff going on. I got calls about other things to get into this conversation. I don't want to do this. But, like, even Andy Pettit, like, you're not a Hall of Famer. I mean, I know he won championships. Great. I'm not going to complain. I love Andy Pettit. Bernie Williams, too. Love Bernie Williams. But you could make it really special by limiting it. But that cat's out of the bag. And certainly if Reggie deserves it, then absolutely Bernie does, and so does Andy. 888-808-1019. Quick break. Come back at the top of the hour. Continue to take your phone calls right here on The Fan.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.